How you doing, man? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. Pretty well. It's awesome that you're teaming up with Kidsport, and you'll be telling a lot of kind of behind-the-scenes stories for people that want to tune in and listen to that. Will you be giving tips on how to be a baseball-swinging goaltender?
Yeah, I'm going to try to, but as long as I don't have big, slow-footed defensemen in front of me, like the guy that's on the air here, then it's okay.
Buddy, I was just trying to get open for you to pass to me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just slide it over to me. I'm open. No, I remember when Rolly, it was so great when he'd catch on the penalty kill and then he'd baseball it out. It was such a good feeling. Like, oh, thank God. Like, it was such a relief, right? Like, and then where did you even pick that up? I didn't really talk to you about that because I didn't really see that happening previous to that very often.
Actually, I picked it up from Hasek. He used to do something different. He always, Hasek always dropped his stick, right? So, but he would pick the puck up with his blocker and then bat it out with his blocker. So I was like, I might as well just try it with my stick and I can get more power on it. So, and when I first started to do it over in North America, or actually not North America, but at the pro level, Jock Lemaire was my coach, and he said, if you screw it up once, you can't do it again, but I like it. So, so it was pretty nice of him to let me do it. So.
Oh, man. Well, I love it. You know, now that we're talking about that, I don't know if you saw the goal last night for Washington with, was it Samsonov? Varlamov? Yeah, Samsonov. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up. So anyways, he goes back and plays the puck and, you know, he didn't give his D-man much chance, but the D-man, he seemed to get kind of a little bit of miscommunication there. And those exchanges, and ultimately that was a game-winning goal for Boston. But on those exchanges, like, you know, how much do you have to trust your D-man to do it, or do you have to kind of just take the trust out of it sometimes?
It's not really trust, it's communication, right? And, you know, and Jay...
I think we might have lost Rolly.
Yeah. Jay talked a lot as well. It's all communication. So as soon as one person talks, everyone's on the same page, right? So, you know, totally going back there, doesn't hear anything. At that point, you got to get rid of it. So I don't know what happened there. The D and the goalie need to talk that out. And, you know, they're going to make mistakes, but it's, we're out there playing goal and trying to move pucks with oven mitts on. So, so you're gonna make mistakes, but at the same time, it's all communication.
What's funny, you had those oven mitts on when you go out for dinner, because I never saw you reach in your back pocket for your wallet.
Well, that's for sure. You know, I knew you were around, so I didn't have to do that.
Splashing the big bucks around, eh?
You know?
We're at Subway. I got this one, really. I got this one, buddy. Quiznos, I got you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it always went. No, we relied on Study for all the nice restaurants because, you know, he made the stops in the East, New York City and all that. He always take us to the nice little local place off the beaten path stuff, so... It's always nice to go for dinner with Strudy because we're always going somewhere non-chained restaurant. So it was always good.
Dwayne Rollison joins us. You can join him a night with Rolly on June 4th for Kidsport. He'll have a few special guests joining him talking about the run to 2006. And Dwayne, when you got traded from Minnesota to Edmonton, what was kind of your original thoughts of, you know, did you think the team was special right away or did it take some time to think, hey, maybe we got something?
It took a little bit of time. Obviously, I got traded fairly early towards the deadline, and then guys came in after. But, you know, it took us a little bit to gel, and I think when I first got there, it was pretty whirlwind tour type of thing. I was going from one place to another place and then back to Minnesota. It was crazy. So I'm pretty sure Kevin Lowe and Matt T were, like, thinking, what – why did we trade for this guy? We haven't won a game since we got him there early. And, you know, but sure enough, knowing a lot of the guys before I got there knew how the team was and how it worked. But I just think
And Shreddy was in that locker room the year after. You know how tight-knit a group of guys are. And when they're that close, it's nothing but success is going to happen. And, you know, we're fortunate enough to have some great leaders. And, you know, we end up taking out Detroit. And I think that just sort of gave us some confidence to do some other remarkable things.
Talking all things hockey with Dwayne Rolston, longtime Edmonton Oilers goalie and owner of the second best mullet in Edmonton Oilers history. You know, Rolly, when you sit back and, you know, look at that team and just maybe talk a little bit about what it's like playing behind a guy like Chris Pronger.
It was easy, you know, and that was the thing. Like I said, I knew guys before. Pronger was a guy that I knew before, so. You know, he could tell me that I was bad, and I could tell him he was bad, you know. So we had a pretty good relationship of being able to talk and talk openly to one another. And that's what it was all about. You know, with him, he's like, I'm going to do this. And I said, well, if you're going to do this, I'm doing this. So just, you know, so we're on the same page right away. And it didn't take much because, like I said, we knew each other from before. You know, so it was pretty easy. And That one was seamless. Steve Staios was the toughest one because he always wanted us to go down to slide to block shots. So we had to have a little rule. If the puck goes underneath you and goes in the net, then that's on you, Steve. I got everything high, so I didn't have to worry about that with Strutty. We didn't have any rules with him because he wasn't in the shooting lane ever.
Didn't want to get hurt, buddy. I'd get out of the way.
Exactly. Well, exactly. That's why I had all that gear on. I didn't want guys blocking shots. But that was the toughest thing, coming from Minnesota, where Jack Lemire didn't want guys blocking shots to Edmonton, where every guy, it was a mandatory thing. He had to block shots. So that was tough for me to transition to, but obviously at the end it worked out.
You know, Dwayne, you mentioned that, and it's fascinating because I've always kind of been like, the goalies got all this great equipment on, you know, that's what they do. They save shots all the time. And, you know, you have D-men, somehow everybody's required to block shots. As a goalie, do you like it when the guys are blocking it, or were you prefer it like Jacques Lemaire, where he said, no, let the goalie make the saves. You guys just, you know what, don't block the shots. Where now that you saw both sides, which do you prefer?
There's, you know, I like when guys block shots, but there's got to be rules and there's got to be situations. And Strutty knows, like, if the puck's on the strong side, I'd take away the weak side, just stand in that lane. And if he wants to shoot there, it's going to hit in the shin pads. I got the short side. You know, depending on the play, you know, maybe you can't take away the far side, you got the short side, then I got the far side. So it's just, you know, little rules between the D and the goalies. And you think that it's hard to think about in the moment. It's not. You know, you get one of the best guys around to be able to explain it better than I can. Like, for them, they're playing a guy. They know they're in that lane and which lane they're in. I got the other lane. You know, I'm just reading off of them, and they just play it normally, and they know it. They're not moving out of the way if a guy shoots there, and, you know, so you got to trust them in that situation. And, you know, we had a good relationship that way with my decor and myself about shooting lanes and things like that. So when you do a little hybrid like that, I think it's one of the best ways to do it.
You know, you talk about that run you guys had, and was it after that first playoff round win that you guys were like, or you personally thought, you know, we might have something here, or did it happen sooner than that?
It was sooner than that. It was probably about 2 weeks or 3 weeks after the deadline. We're making some pushes, and, you know, you could see the guys just starting to come together slowly, and then all of a sudden, just something just clicked. We're playing top teams and we're playing them hard. We're winning games by one goal, and, you know, then, you know, they're sitting guys because they got a big lead, or their playoff is already set. And so, but we were taking control of our situation at that point. Probably about a month left in the season, I think we were starting to to click. You know, maybe 3 weeks left, we were starting to click, and everything was coming together, and it was just MACT learning with all the new players, you know, who plays well with one another, and sort of tweaking the lines to give us the opportunity to have success later on. And I think you could just see everyone's confidence level just building. And, you know, we had guys like George LaRocque and Todd Harvey and Tico, who, Ralphie Torres, who, you know, they did a lot of the grunt work that they didn't get a lot of recognition, but they did a lot of grunt work like that, to, you know, and you need those guys. And they did it with a smile on their face, and, you know, they're a big part of our success as well.
Dwayne Rollison joins us. 2 weeks tomorrow will be a night with Rolly, discussing the run to the 2006 Stanley Cup final. Ultimately, Oiler fans, just like Dwayne Rollison, probably still, you know, there's a little part of you that's still crushed over how that finished in Game 7, especially for you, because unfortunately you couldn't be in it. When you watch the playoffs, is that like, is there like always a tinge? Does that come up every year when the playoffs start, thinking what if for you?
Yeah, there's always that question, right? What if? And, you know, I try not to think about it. I did another spot with CTV yesterday, and they showed a highlight of me getting hurt. And, you know, that's when I feel it. That's when, you know, it stings a little bit more. It's tough to see, and it hurts to see it. But at the same time, it is a game. It's a fast-paced game, and, you know, injuries happen. But unfortunately for us, or for myself, it happened at that point, and, you know, couldn't bring it home after that.
Now, really, I was lucky enough to play with you for a year or two, and you know, I got to say, like, you, I've never seen anyone just be as aggressive on a Bosu ball as you were. I kind of sat by the goalies, and you're always on the Bosu ball, working your hips. And it's, I didn't get to shower with you for about three or four weeks, so I expect when I walked in there to see the biggest six pack. And I don't know what happened. Like, are you doing something different on the Bosu ball? Like, not working your core that I didn't know about? Because I, with as much time as you put on there, your
Sorry, you cut out on me, Stray, after the Bosu ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Bosu ball. So when I, like I said, when we were playing, I see you on the Bosu ball all the time, and I couldn't figure out how, like, it, you know, you're always working, and I thought, boy, this guy must have a sick core. Then we finally got in the shower together, and I didn't see a six-pack that resembled anything what the time you put into it. So what were you doing on there? Was it something different that I didn't know goalie-related?
Yeah, it was more just, you know, keeping my hips and lower back loose. And that's, you know, and my knees, trying to stretch out the ligaments and things like that. And it was funny, speaking of the Bosu, Dr. McGee, Fibber McGee, as you know, he was our physio who, outside the rink, you know, Kenny Loeb handled everything in the rink, and Fibber up at U of A would always do our rehab up there. And I was goofing around the one day on a Bosu when I was doing my rehab, and I asked him, I had my foot on the Bosu and started rolling it out and sort of getting my knee and hip into a place like I was taking a butterfly. And I said, oh, this feels good. It's a nice stretch. And he goes, I've never seen that. I'm going to put that in my new book. It was a perfect stretch for an MCL recovery thing. So, but a lot of that was just, you know, trying to activate my hips and my groins, adductors, lower back, hamstrings, and all that stuff. It wasn't core related, but it was core related because, you know, you have to activate your core to do that. But, you know, I don't know why, but I think a lot of stress in my lower stomach area from playing behind Strutty for a couple of years. I still have it there. So I think it's called stress fat there.
Now, was Rolly, were you the goalie on the shift in Detroit, Struts? Rolly, were you on the team when Struts had the 4.5-minute shift in Detroit?
I think that was him.
I don't think I was on there for that one.
It was hilarious.
If I was, I would have been pushing him off the ice. I would have told him to go in there and play defense.
I think it was J.D. Delorier. But, I mean, a lot of people say that was a bad thing. I look at it as a bonus. I played against everyone in the whole Red Wings. They couldn't do it. Like, who else are you going to beat? Gordie Howe? You're going to bring Steve Yzerman back? You know, like, I shut him all down for 4.5 minutes.
Yeah. That's stick on puck, right, Scotty? Stick on puck. Gave him to the outside, and that's what the goalie is there for, right?
You know, it's pretty funny. It's when the first time I met Connor McDavid, I was doing this thing with him. He walks up, he's like, "Strutty, it's great to see." I'm like, "Hey, man, what's up?" And he's like, "I got to tell you, the guys, I told him what I was doing today, and they showed me the video of your 4.5 minute shift. I'm like, one of the best players in the world. That's the first thing they think of me." I was dying. I'm like, "Oh yeah, well they didn't score on me, right?" He's like, "Yeah, it was amazing." I'm like, "I wasn't that good, Connor." Like, it's sad. Let's not blow this up.
Hey, you didn't get scored on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Look at the plus minus.
8 minutes. 8 minutes out there.
One last one for you, Dwayne. Kind of a teaser for people on what they can expect in a night with Rolly, June 4th for Kidsport. Will you be breaking down the run to the Cup back in 2006? A few special guests. During that Cup run, are you a superstitious guy? Like, did you inherit anything? Because that was obviously the longest playoff run that you'd been on at that point in your career as a player. And so was there anything, did you inherit any superstition during that play? Was there something you had to do as the playoffs went along?
No, not really. Most goalies are pretty wacky. I got dressed the same way I did the little thing. I always did my visualization 2 minutes before I went on the ice. But other than that, the only thing I had was don't touch my stall once the game starts. And that was part of it with the trainers. And other than that, just go play hockey. So for me, that's what it was. Is no superstitions, at least for me anyways, is get dressed. And it's just out of habit that you get dressed, For me, it was right to left. Some guys are left to right, whatever. You always put your, for me, put your right skate on. Strutty, which skate did you put on first?
I had my left on.
Yeah. It's just out of habit. You've been doing it for so long. You just, it's a routine, So it's not superstition. If, Barry had to sharpen it if I lost an edge in the period or whatever, or before the game. And, I had to put my left one on first before my right. No big deal, so wasn't really superstitious at all. There are some guys that are pretty superstitious, but for me, I felt I played with Trevor Kidd, probably one of the worst superstitious goalies that I played with, and saw some of the side effects to that, so I vowed not to get into that stuff later on. So, so I tried to be as normal as possible. I tried to change the goalie union as much as I could, but we're still weird, right, Scotty?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it, really. Yeah, but we loved it. Like, I loved the messing with the goalies. You move their stuff and they'd snap, and like it was always pretty fun.
I loved it. Where I was in Rexall there, it was right by the door, so the guys would come in and they'd kick my pads all over. I have to get all mad, act mad, because they do it again. So just to have some fun with them, get them, hey, I'm going to screw up with Rolly today and kick his pads. And you act a little mad, and then they do it all the time. And so it's fun. That's the game within the game. And it's, 20-plus-year-old men playing a game of hockey. And, that we had to keep it fun. And, through the good times and the bad times, you keep it fun, and then it doesn't become a job. And that's when it becomes a job, it's a tough game. And Strutty can relate to that and expand on that. But when it's fun, that's when the guys are playing the best, and the guys have success that way.
Well, Dwayne, it's always good to catch up with you. We really appreciate it. We're looking forward to a night with Rolly as the run to the cup on Friday, June 4th from 8 to 9. It's, of course, virtual. People can get in, and there'll be lots of great stories behind the scenes of what went on in 2006 for Oiler fans, obviously for many of them. The best playoff experience they've ever enjoyed. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of fans who want to tune in for that. We always appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. And Shreddy, I want to thank you personally for the last couple of years with my youngest out there at NAX. You didn't screw him up, so I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, I made the other kids worse, but not yours.
Yes, exactly. See, so I'm thankful.